Now we can talk about the incident.
Yeah, I need to hear about it.
First of all, before I say my side, can you tell me what it was like for you?
I heard it was loud. I heard a very loud, I heard rolly chair wheels, for one.
Oh, okay.
I heard little rolly chair wheels, and then I heard a crash, and then I heard an ear-splitting scream through my very turned up high monitoring headphones.
You did say, Jesus, dude, what?
Yeah, but that's my perspective. I don't know what just happened to you.
If you remember, slightly before it went down, I said, let me readjust. And I stood up, and I have a rolly chair, like you said. The rolly chair wheels were a clue. You are Sherlock. And the back of my knees, like, kind of slightly bumped my chair when I stood up, you know. And I was just going to do one of those, like, half sit up, scoot your ass back a bit and get resituated.
Sure, okay, yeah.
And my ass and or back of knees barely touched the chair. And because I have, like, laminate floors, like hardwood whatever, it just fucking launched across the room. And before I could react, I fucking...
You didn't just fall, did you? Did you fall?
Oh, yeah. No, I did. I did big time.
Oh, my God.
I did big time. And my computer fell on top of my face, which is why when I screamed, it was right there.
How's your face?
In the mic. It's good. I was actually less of the computer, I mean the mic falling on me, and more like me just punting my face against it. Anyway, and I also spilt my coffee.
That's a
bummer. I had to go clean that up. That's why it took an extraordinarily long time.
Yeah, I got to hear some nice ambiance. I got to hear you, like, turn the sink on and, like, get some, get everything together. I was just kind of sitting.
Did you hear my,
listening?
My string of archaics, curses?
No, those must have been nice and under your breath because I didn't pick those up.
Just like Edward. Mm. Crap.
God. Do you got there then, right? Did you finish it?
I haven't finished it, dude. I had to take a nice hearty break. It was around the time that I told you I was going to stop taking breaks because I had to finish it. I listened to about a half a chapter, and then I was like, I need to breathe. So I had a little birthday break. However, I will be resuming for my shopping trip after this.
I need you to finish it soon.
Yeah. Oh, I need to finish it soon. Trust. We're talking about Midnight Sun.
So much to say.
And we won't be talking about it.
No, not today. We're going to wait until you finish it. When you finish it, y'all, listen. When you finish it, get ready because, y'all, we're going to talk about it. We have to talk about it. We're only human.
So, speaking of talking about things, if you saw the most tasty, delicious print for, I'm trying to remember what season we're in, for summer of 2022, with cryptids and laser eyes,
yeah,
and Macy just absolutely squirting over all of the cryptids.
I am excited, yes.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And a cute little Brady Bunch format, and that text, that like font is so cute. I love everything about it. If you saw it and thought to yourself, well, geez, golly, I sure would like to have that, and then like me, put it on the back burner and kind of just forgot, this is your last chance reminder. It stops today, dude. It flips to midnight, flips to tomorrow, and it's done.
Gone forever. It's in the,
gone.
Remember Disney, like way back in the day when they would release the VHS tapes? Yeah, they'd be like, and it's going into the vault. Forever. And it never actually did, because I feel like you could always just buy the movies at any given time. But they really tried to make it seem like there was scarcity.
Oh, yeah. Vault was real flimsy.
Yeah, yeah. It was, loose concept.
No, yeah. So this is the opposite of the Disney vault.
Yeah, this is a real vault.
Fort Knox.
Oh, wow.
Area 51.
Yeah. The bowels of the Vatican.
Oh, God. The Pope's bowels.
Yeah, I mean, you're not getting in there, probably.
I don't know. Listen, a doctor, unless you're a doctor. That is the rule. If you are a doctor, show us medical proof, and we'll open the vault for you.
Yes, yes, we'll let you.
JK.
We won't, not even for
you. There's no small print.
There's no license. There's no privilege that could give you access once gone. It's gone forever.
Oh, you're the president of the world? Sorry.
Sorry, too bad. You should have ordered before today, Wednesday. August 10th.
Aliens? Yeah, wait, yeah. In like 2 years from now, somebody's getting fucking pumped.
Yeah, I know it. I've wondered about that. There's so many, that must suck, you know, because it is limited. And when you're listening back, you're just like, man, there's just nothing I can do about this.
Yeah, you're like, shut up, dudes.
Yeah.
We still get emails sometimes, like in reference to old episodes. And, yeah. And it kind of blows my mind because it's just interesting to see someone write an email from the perspective of having just listened to something that we talked about that it is so, I don't want to be callous and be like, oh, we forgot about that.
But like, kind of, yeah, really.
Kind of, you know, and, I don't know. It's just interesting how time works.
Yeah. I always feel a little shell shocked with those because I don't remember anything. I don't remember hardly my name half the time. And so it's just like,
yeah,
wow. Like I forget sometimes selectively that words we said 4 years ago are still out there. You know what I mean? And I'm almost just like, oh,
also scary.
Yeah, exactly. It makes me remember that. And I'm like, oh
shit. Speaking of time not working properly, I kind of went down a little bit of a rabbit hole, and I might have been like deep in the weeds with conspiracy theories. However, a lot of people are experiencing weird time shifts.
Mm-hmm.
And I was watching a bunch of TikToks about it, and there's somebody who compiled a bunch of them to just show the mat, like how many. And there's people that are just describing these strange incidences. Like one lady, and I think this is a pretty popular one that went around on TikTok. She was watching a movie with her son, and her son gets up to go to the bathroom, and he's in there for like 20 minutes, and she's concerned.
Sure.
And she's like, "You good?" She calls out, "Are you okay?" She doesn't hear him, and thinks whatever. Another like 15 minutes goes by. She's very concerned. She goes and like knocks on the door, checks on him. He's nowhere in there. And she's like, oh, well, he pooped and got bored of the show. So she goes back to the bed, lays down, keeps watching TV. And in a little bit, the kid runs in just fucking terrified looking. And he's like, where were you? And turns out this kid's experience, he got up, went to the bathroom and came back and she was gone.
Mm.
Like no one was on the bed. And he was like, I ran all over the house. He's like, I was screaming your name. You should have heard me. He's like, I went outside and looked for you. You know, and then he's like, I've been doing that for so long. And then I come in here and boom, you're back. And just shit like that. Another one was a lady heard her husband say something and she agreed with him. And he goes, I didn't say that out loud. I thought that.
Oh,
and then
cool.
Like later.
Ooh, I don't like that. I don't want anyone to hear my thoughts.
I know. We'll see. Later, she went home and she said she was taking a shower. And you know how your mind just roams.
Mm-hmm.
She gets out and her husband was like, what were you doing? And she's like, what? And he's like, I heard you just talking to yourself.
Weird.
And she's like, I didn't say any of that out loud. So just weird shit like that is going down. And
now that you mention it, I think Hunter, I think we had one.
Okay. Go into that.
I don't really, well, here's the thing, and it's normalcy is just, but I remember there was a day like a week or two ago that both of us felt like it wasn't right. There was something not right with it. And like,
yeah,
on that same day, I remember looking at the clock and seeing it was like 12:15 and doing so much stuff and, mm-hmm. you know, like really doing it. And then looking back at the clock and it was about to be noon. And it really, my eyes are watering right now talking about it. And that was the same.
It was like 12:15 and then it went back to noon?
Yeah. It was like, it wasn't even noon yet. Like, it was like, I went back and it's making my eyes water. But like, it was that day for both of us was extraordinarily long. Like, we commented on it. Both of us did. But I've not really thought back to it until now, you mentioning that. But yeah, it kind of stopped me in my tracks. Like, I remember looking at the clock and being like, what the fuck? And it's creepier too because it's an analog. It's not a digital clock, you know? And I was just like, what?
I know the clock you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And I was going to say that, like, I think that immediately my brain goes to, well, the clock messed up.
Yeah. Or I read it wrong, you know?
But like, the thing is, those those hands aren't going to move backwards. Yeah. And if they did, it'd probably be happening. You would notice it. You know, this clock is fucked.
It didn't feel right. It was like when I realized it, everything about it, when I saw the time again, how long the day was, it was just, it felt like it was a little bit nebulous, you know, like it wasn't abiding by how things normally feel.
So what do you think is happening in a situation like that? Do you think time itself is fucking up, or do you think you as a thing, as an entity, is floating through it in a weird way?
I don't know. I really don't know, you know, because there's a lot of different elements to it. Like, because time is neither here nor there. It's everything. It's not, you know, it's everything at once. So it's like, I think it's our perception, probably.
How we're moving through the situation. But I don't know.
Who knows?
That's one of those things that I don't think our brains, our squishy meat brains, were meant. I don't think they can comprehend that, you know?
Right. There's limitations, you know? Like, we're not we're still animals, you know? I mean, like, there's a limit to what we can process and comprehend as a creature. There is for every creature.
Did you know that we only use 10% of our brain?
Dude, that old incorrect factoid.
That old absolutely fucking stupid, if you think about it for 4 fucking seconds. Dude, and then they went and made that movie, that fucking ScarJo movie.
Dude, you ever watch that?
Dude, yeah.
I will never forget watching that movie. I watched it when I was in college, and I remember just being like, the fuck is this pile
was so mad
of hot juice? Like, what is this?
I went full, like, fedora tipping, well, actually, on that movie. Like, I would evangelize anyone who would listen about how it's not correct, it's a fake factoid, and, it's more like this, or whatever. But the fact that, dude... God, I can't talk about it.
See, my real issue with the movie, other than the fact that it was like not really how things worked, I just remember it being just a bad movie. Like, I remember watching it and just being like, this is not good. Like, it made me uncomfortable because I cringed a lot. Like, that was why. Like, I remember I remember her sitting in the car and she's like, she's finally able to, she can sift through like fucking thoughts or something, but I don't even remember. And she's like, I'll see. And she's like flipping through and it's making like, I feel like it's making little laser sounds, even though it's just what she can. I just remember watching it and being like, I've got to get out of here. This is so awful and it won't end.
Doesn't she become like a USB drive at the end?
She becomes everything.
Right.
But yes, essentially, I think
like downloaded.
She's kind of
onto the world's biggest USB.
I think she's on a stick. Yeah.
Yeah. Which is so funny to me because, like, USB drives is still totally a thing. However, kind of moving to a they're going the way of the cassette tape and the floppy disk.
Yeah.
And shit like that.
Yeah,
so
there's Dropbox now, and she could have just been into the cloud.
She could have been the cloud. Yeah. Or whatever.
We're in a cloud.
And it just. Oh, the big white puffy thing in the sky. Bro.
Wow.
Okay, speaking of me and childhood things, I just want to briefly interject and just say thank you guys for all of the birthday wishes. That was very sweet. I was reading through everyone's. I read every single little comment that came through, and it was very sweet. And thank you to Macy for putting them those pictures up.
I can't help it. I'm ready every year, dude. It's like 3 years running now, and every year I'm ready to dust off those albums and get it.
Yeah. You know, I might just steal your idea, because I think until now I've just been putting, like, current day pictures of you up, like, whatever is, like, most recent on your Instagram, or I'll, like, go through and I'll be like, oh, she, you know, she's got a full face on here. Let's
do
this one.
Dude, the kid
pictures
are the best, man.
And I know I'm going to sound like a fucking boomer here, but, like, it's a bummer to me that nobody does physical pictures anymore.
No, I know.
I don't remember the last time I just sifted through my digital picture, like...
I need to, I say that we've had this conversation. I need to print them. I haven't even printed our honeymoon pictures, homie.
Oh, yeah. They're just probably sitting in a folder somewhere that, like, you might look at once or twice, but, like, it just, I don't know. It's just kind of a bummer. 'Cause there's so much fun and just flipping through an old photo.
Dude, it's the best. I love it. I love old pictures. And it helps bring back memories. Like, I can see things and surroundings and little, like, nostalgic trinkets and posters and things like that that I didn't remember that will just jog the most intense memory out of nowhere I didn't even think I still had.
Isn't it weird how your memories just go away? Like, you can fully experience a moment and it'll just be gone.
Yeah, and what you remember might not even be right.
I've wondered about that. I have sworn up and down things were like a certain way, and then I saw a picture of it and I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
That's not
it's not it reliable. At all.
Our brains are not reliable. Time is not reliable. Let's do a Patreon shout out.
Woo, those are kind of reliable.
Yeah. I mean, the Patreons are very reliable. We are the patron shout outs.
We forget these sometimes.
Today's episode goes out to our Patreon, Jennifer N.
I guess the way that we can link the two, the incredible feature film and the name, but the first thing that I've got is Lucy in the Sky with Jennifer N.
Just hanging out.
Yeah, she's just up there being everything.
Isn't that precious? Being everything. What a scary
thing. I think I remember they all get a text message and it says, I am everywhere, I think.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's
oh, because she had
sure.
a big brain. Because,
oh, God. Yeah. The human brain is powerful. God. Anyway, what are we talking about today?
Dude, we almost had a little bit of a disaster. So I almost talked about something that you have already talked about. Like, I mean, like really almost like had a good chunk of notes done, like was pretty deep. Well, so different. So, you know, that oil that I've been super going on and on and on about that I've been a big fan of, that helichrysum that I've been super into. Uh-huh. Do you know what that is? You know what that also is called? Fucking life everlasting.
Miracle? Oh!
And so I was doing the research and was seeing the other names, and I didn't really see life everlasting first. I saw like immortal and other names and whatnot.
I remember that.
And
yeah.
Then I saw like, oh, these bright yellow blooms just don't really fade. And even in the middle of summer, when everything else is dead, they're still yellow. And if you clip them and dry them, they stay yellow forever. And like, it's good for your skin. And I was just reading all of this and I was like, I know this. I know this from somewhere.
This sounds
something about these yellow undying flowers. And so I remember you, I think I remembered you talking about like everlasting or something. And I was able to search it and I listened because I knew you'd have the Latin name in there. And it was like helichrysum something. I was like, fuck. So I started over and I'm talking about limes.
Oh, limes.
Yeah, bro.
I had a feeling last night. I was kind of putting the finishing touch on some of these notes, and I was like, got the feeling that you were going to do a topic like that.
Yeah, like a
not food. Limes in general, but
yeah,
like
a little mundane flower.
Yeah, like a wow. Well, I am talking to you today about a flower that is a Texas staple. I'm talking to you about zinnias.
Oh, zinnias. I've heard about zinnias. I don't know if off the top of my head, like I'm sure I would recognize them, but I don't know if I really know what they look like.
Do you know what you know zinnias from?
I've just heard the name forever.
Did you hear it perhaps when cute little Rick Moranis said, and when the light came back on, this weird plant was just sitting there, just stuck in, you know, among the zinnias?
No, I don't remember that at all.
And then they go, Audrey too.
Oh gosh, they are so good. The background singers. Oh.
Dude. Fucking what's the song that just is a groove? And they just come on, come on, do. Supper time.
Supper time's the one. Supper time's the one, dude.
Supper time is it.
Mm.
Yeah. Wow. Well, another thing that we need to talk about before we jump in too far, if you're still with us, hello and thank you. Tomorrow, not the day, not the Wednesday that this is coming out, what it may say, August 10th, yeah. Whatever, not today. The Thursday after is the full moon. Reminder to all the moon witches. But not only that, it is a super moon. And as I saw that, I was like, God damn, it just feels like every fucking moon lately is a super moon.
Yeah, it does.
This, however, is the last of four consecutive super moons.
What constitutes a super moon?
A super moon is a full moon. It's the closest that the moon comes to Earth in its elliptic orbit, resulting in a slightly larger than usual apparent size of the lunar disk. They called the moon the lunar disk on Wikipedia.
Okay, lunar disk. I like that.
It also says the phenomenon whereby the moon appears particularly large in the sky, owing to the coincidence of the closest approach to Earth during a full or new moon.
I feel like I learned something today.
It's just a big old fucking moon.
Yeah, it is.
But supermoons are typically, they've got the same vibe as a full moon. I mean, I guess they are sort of one and the same, but it's like anything that you're manifesting, anything that you're doing work with the moon on, you remember a full moon is sort of like your clear quartz. It's going to just amplify it, blast it out. However, with the super moon, it's like that times 10. So this is a great night to get out there, do some manifesting. I said get out there. You don't even have to go outside. Remember, the moon is everywhere.
I do love that meme of like that person just like up in their window, just like shining the vagina right at the moon, and it's sending out that purple laser like up, and they're like really bracing against their windowsills with a lot of tension and power. It's one of my favorites.
Really, a real wide V.
Very much so. Yeah. Really giving it to the moon.
Showing the moon your perineum.
Mm-hmm.
Since this is the last of the four in a row super moons, this is a good time to manifest something that you have been working on for a long time, or perhaps it's something that you know that thing that's like, oh, one of these days I'm going to get around to XYZ. Or one of these days when this thing happens, just that thing that you've been wanting for a long time. This is it, baby. This is the culmination. Get out. Do it. Do the stuff. Get your cinnamon. Dance naked. Show the moon your taint. Who goes first?
Moon likes it.
You do.
I do. So let's talk about limes. Bro. So
let's talk about lime.
Baby. There's lots of different kinds of citrus trees whose fruits are called limes. So you got the ones that you really know. You got the key lime. You got the Persian lime. You got the Makrit lime and the desert lime. And so really, as many, you know, just kind of, you know, generally you think of citrus, you think of vitamin C. That's the big thing up there. They're sour, as we often know. And they're used by everybody all over the world, honestly, to flavor foods, beverages, desserts. They're grown year round. Really just well-loved fruit by the humans.
Oh, yes. Yeah, you ever had a margarita?
Hell yeah, bro. And what's interesting about limes is so they do not form a monophyletic group. So their genetic origins are a bit more diverse. So not as set as some other things, but there are some things like, you know, like I said earlier, some kind of like families of limes, like your desert lime, and you have your other kinds of limes, which we will get into. But this seems due in part to how the citrus family loves to hybridize. And it hybridizes really, really well with each other to the point where many of the like citrus fruits that we really know and like, for instance, like little like mandarins, I believe, and pomelos, those are hybrids. Those aren't like as they were originally. And citrus just really hybridizes well.
Huh.
And the same goes for limes. So it seems that most of the species and hybrids of limes have origins that come from kind of around South Asia, especially like tropical kind of Southeast Asia. The origins, though, aren't exactly always, they aren't necessarily known, especially for the Persian limes. So limes were spread all over the world starting a really long time ago via migration and trade. And really, they spread all over the world. The Makrit lime in particular, it's one of the earliest citrus fruits that was introduced to other parts of the world by humans. Like, limes went where humans did very quickly and very early.
Seems like it'd be good for keeping away the old scurvy.
It is. And I've got a little factoid for you about that coming up. Yeah.
I love
cocktail fact that you can drop on people.
Okay.
Seemingly the origins, I see they were spread from Micronesia and Polynesia via the Austronesian expansion. Do I sound smart? This happened 3000 to 1500 BCE. So later on after that, they made their way to the Middle East, to the Mediterranean region via the spice trade and the incense trade routes as early as 1200 BCE. So they
were before Jesus?
Before Common Era. Yeah, I guess so.
No, it's called BJC, before Jesus Christ.
I heard the two words BJ and my brain was like, what? And I didn't know where you were going with it.
Yeah, you know, the time of the BJ.
Yeah. And so it's very clear, it seems, people like their citrus, and for good reason. There's a lot of reasons to like citrus. So in the 1850s, the British Royal Navy, it would give its sailors grog, which grog is a bit of a slurry. It's a bit of a mixture. And so this in particular was a mixture of rum, water, and lime juice, which actually sounds kind of good.
It sounds like a fucking cocktail.
Yeah, it does. Like, put some ice in that, maybe mull some mint leaves, and like, you're home free, man. But that was like, you know, just something that they would drink to help prevent scurvy, which led to the slang term for sailors to be called limeys. And that's where that came from. You would hear the term like, you limey bastard. And that came from the British sailors using limes in their grog and whatnot, and also just consuming a lot of limes to help keep scurvy away. So what's interesting is that limes and citrus made its way onto ships way early on. They knew it helped. They knew it kept scurvy away, but they didn't know why. And they didn't know why. Nobody knew why until 1932. So there's all these hundreds of years of precedent of doing this, but like no actual like concrete knowledge as to why. And it appears that one Charles Glenn King made the connection that it's like, okay, this seems to be like a vitamin C thing, you know, and that seems to help with the scurvy. And they were able to put those puzzle pieces together. But I just find that so interesting. It's neat to see in history when it's like people, you know, especially since nowadays, I feel like we've got to know an answer for everything. Everything's got to have an answer. You got to analyze it 1,000 years before implicating into something. And it's here, there is like, well, like it works. I guess like tell everybody in our Navy to like distribute. Like, we don't really know why, but like it works, you know, it's so different.
Have some of these.
Exactly.
What is scurvy?
I think it just results from deficiency. I thought it might be more complicated than that.
I didn't know if it was like a gastrointestinal thing.
I think that when you get deficient long enough, I think it can really wreak havoc on the whole body. Like I think your skin starts to go like it, we don't do well.
Immunity thing? I don't know, man.
I don't know. I mean, you lose your teeth. I've heard that you get sores or your skin can, just becomes more delicate. Even, I don't know for sure, but either way, it sounds fucking terrible. It just sounds awful.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like a fun time, especially when you're already like on a boat with like 20 other
sticky
bros. Dude,
ship conditions back then were awful. So that said, people like their limes. And along with this pragmatic use of them preventing scurvy, humans just really like the taste of limes. People like the limes. So much so that the lime has found its way into so many different cultural cuisines all over the world, from main courses to desserts. And, like, if we're really going to take a peek at a country that has embraced the lime, it's our friends down yonder. It's Mexico.
Oh, yeah.
They get it.
I was sitting here thinking about lime on guacamole, thinking about a lime in a fucking beer.
Well, bro. Ceviche, you know, and utilizing it. And just the lime is just so integrated into Mexican cuisine. And they just, man, they just got it right, you know, like they just got it right. And so Tahiti or Persian limes. We'll get into Mexico and their growing of the limes here. So Persian limes, also known as Tahiti limes, they were grown commercially in Florida until the early 2000s. But they needed to stop that. It seemed that there was a really bad disease going around called a citrus canker. They like stopped growing there completely. It seems to like stamp that out. So it's completely stopped the domestic production that was like the notable domestic production in the U.S. And so the United States buys like all of its limes from Mexico. All of them, pretty much.
And when was this?
We stopped our lime production, it seems, in like the early 2000s, and then switched to buying our limes from Mexico.
Oh, we were just like, okay, let them do it.
Yeah. We buy some from like other like neighboring countries as well to Mexico, but it's like Mexico's like they're the ones, you know. And these limes, these Persian limes, they are grown mostly in these specific climates in Mexico, such as northern Veracruz, Tabasco, Oaxaca, Puebla, Jalisco, and Yucatan. So those are kind of like the limey places. So it's estimated that, like, this is how much we depend on them. Like almost half to 60% of the Persian or Tahiti limes that come into the U.S. are from Veracruz, like from that one specific area.
Shit, dog.
Yeah. While a third of Mexico's total Tahiti lime production is exported to other places. So like we really count on their limes and we are a huge buyer of their limes. But let's talk about all the other limes in the world. There's a lot of limes being grown every single year to the tune of 19.4 million tons. So I looked that up because I didn't trust myself to like know that because I'm always just like, yeah, double it. But I think it's a bit more complicated than that. So it was like, Google, tell me what 19.4 tons is in pounds. So it is 42,769,778,864 pounds or 19,400,000,000 kilos. So many much limes are grown every year.
That's a lot of limes. A
lot of limes, bro.
You ever just crack open a lime and put it on some chicken?
Dude, do you ever just like crack open a lime and put it on fucking anything? when you think about it, like how many limes do you think like all of the bars in Dallas goes through in a night?
Oh, God. Dude, I feel like any food that you get has a lime on the side.
Especially here, like in Texas, like it's pretty damn common. Like it makes it so much better. Like it makes everything so much better. I fucking love lime. So I'm glad that all of us
squeeze lime juice on your chips.
Dude. I love to make my own like cilantro lime rice, like they do at Chipotle, you know, and I'll just like make the rice and like put a shit pile of cilantro in it and like squeeze way too much lime juice in it, almost to the point where it's too sour, but I'm just like,
yeah.
Oh God.
Hurt your tongue.
God,
dude, hurt it.
So delicious. So let's talk about lime essential oil. So I'm a big fan of lime essential oil. It is one of my go-to oils that I use in my house for all kinds of purposes. And I really wanted to talk about it. So first of all, it seems that there are anti-inflammatory, astringent, analgesic, stimulant and antiseptic properties to lime oil. And guess what? It's got those terpenes in it. And we like those terpenes. There's limonene, Y-terpenine, and beta-pinene, pinene. all three of these that seem to have a beneficial effect on various aspects of our bodies. So lime oil can be added in doses that are carefully measured with carriers for uses on the body. Again, this is when diluted in a very skin-safe carrier, but it can be used. Skincare things can brighten up the skin, like many vitamin C type treatments can do. For instance, like darker blemishes, sunspots. You don't want to just
like acid burn your skin by putting a straight lime on it.
And that's
for 4 hours.
I've got pretty tough skin when it comes to oils and whatnot. And I use a lime essential oil in my little misty diffusers quite regularly. And I did get some on my skin the other day. And within the short amount of time of me just getting to like the sink to wash it off, it was already starting to burn.
Oh, yeah.
Be very careful with this stuff.
It seems so innocuous because it's like not like a peppermint, like,
right?
Or something that you're like, oh, I can eat it, so I can just shove it on my face.
Yeah, no,
careful,
it'll burn you. And I did see over and over that there was like positive benefits to utilizing it for hair care. Like it would leave hair, like after washing it, like very shiny and clean. Like it can kind of help, not like strip it, but you know, like strip off the stuff,
like a clarifying shampoo.
I've never tried that myself. Look up if you want to make that, look up how to do it. Don't just pour lime essential oil all over your scalp, please.
God,
it would hurt so bad. So diffusing lime essential oil can lend a really uplifting and energizing energy to a space. It's my go-to. Like if I've just cleaned our bedroom, like really cleaned it, you know, and you know, like when you clean a space, it kind of has that buzzing energy that comes from like all of the pathways in the room feel open. And it's just this buzzy, exciting feeling. You can feel it. You want to be in there. I feel like the lime they work perfectly together. Like when it feels like that, I put the lime on because it's like, man, this is like a brand new space. It's new completely. It's the best. I love it.
I don't know if this is going to make sense, but that fits perfectly because the smell of lime gives me like a buzzing in my nose.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
It's very energetic and very peppy.
Very similar to that overall buzzy feeling of like, oh, this room's so clean and organized. Like, I don't know if that is.
It does.
That makes any sense.
It does.
Okay.
One thing I did want to mention, and this goes for many, a whole bunch of essential oils, is that if you are diffusing them, make sure that your space, and you have pets in particular, make sure your space is very well ventilated. Or if you're like diffusing it in your bedroom, shut the door, or something like that, or let them go out if they have a yard to go out in. Open a window, you know, just make sure, especially for cats, because the little water droplets will land on their fur and then they lick it with their little tongues. Mm-hmm. And so they're ingesting that, and it really doesn't take much. So just be careful when you use oils. I did see that limonene, especially in certain doses, and I remember mentioning it in the pet safety episode, can be toxic to animals.
Yeah.
So just as a general rule, be careful. Like I do diffuse lime and whatnot and other essential oils in my house, but I just make sure that the corgis are either in a different room and it's closed off, or they're outside, or the windows are really open and the dogs can go into a different space. Like I just make sure that they can go get fresh air that's not the mist. And yeah, it's just a little thing on that. You don't want to make your little pet sick. You don't want to burn them either, or just irritate their skin, things like that. They're pretty sensitive little guys. You just want to be careful with them. Speaking of, how's Wetley?
Oh, he's so good.
Okay, good.
Our friend Liz sent Wetley a little welcome to the world. No, he was already born.
Welcome to your world.
Welcome to the life that matters, the good life that I give you.
Mm-hmm.
Working my fingers to the bone to give you bloodworms. No. Wow. She sent a little tank decoration. It's little floaty mushrooms.
Oh my
and
gosh.
They're very cute.
Cute.
I love them very much. So thank you, Liz.
Bob.
I mean, I've told her thank you in person also, but can you imagine if I didn't and I was just like, listen to the episode.
Thank you. I did it there. That's enough. So I really like to use lime essential oil, like to diffuse it if I have company coming, especially if they're coming a bit later at night, you know, because it can just add a little bit of a zing of energy to the space, especially mm-hmm. with me going to bed at like 9:45, you know, like I need that.
Yes.
I need that little bit of help, the peppiness, you know, it's got value to me. And aromatherapy does work. You know, like, I mean, there's, of course, varying opinions as to the power that it has and what it can do exactly. But it does have an effect on our bodies. And that is provable. And, you know, we respond.
Quackery.
We respond to certain compounds in different ways, just like with the terpenes and things like that, that can be verified. And often these compounds can be found in these oils. So, you know, like. You get those feelings for a reason. When you do, you know, lavender makes you feel calm for a reason. You know, all of those things that still rolls all up under aromatherapy. And it's funny to me how many people are like, oh, aromatherapy is bullshit, but they're the ones that go out of their way to buy lavender stuff because it helps you sleep. And it's like,
right.
You know?
Yeah. Let's put this together. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's like, now, will it like do some of the crazy shit that some people, I don't know about that, but like it does, essential oils can be valuable tools for you. And, you know, for instance, like I was thinking of like a scenario like today, I was like, when would I like to do lime oil? Like, when have I done lime oil? Honestly, you know, and I was just, it kind of fits the vibe. So say you've like been on vacation away from like your work for like a week, you know, you're on like on vacation mode and it's Monday morning and it's your first day and you're going to like get up and go back to work. You know, it's like, that is when I would put the lime oil on for like, it's going to not only just give you a little bit of zing, it's very purifying. And it also just has, it's sharpening and uplifting. So maybe you won't be quite so like, God damn it, son of a bitch. Gotta go fucking work today. Like, piece of shit.
You'll be,
you know, you'll be ready.
Nice and peppy.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just, it has that. It's uplifting and focusing and purifying. It just has like a really good energy to it. So, and really that just makes it a magical tool. And that's why I think essential oils are magical tools, because it's something you can partner with to manipulate the energy within yourself and therefore the energy around you, which is magic. That's what magic is. And
I mean, if you, yeah, you know, and I think just, I think that that's something that a lot of people don't really understand, you know, when they're like dogging on, oh, these people who love crystals and they think they're witches and stuff. It's like, it's, let's get over the scary word. You know, of magic, because it sounds silly. It's just, I think so many people in their day-to-day life are like doing magic and they don't even know it.
Dude, I've got a little spell for you later that is the most mundane shit. It shouldn't even be considered a spell, but it is if you do it with intention. And I did it for that reason, because it's important to remember, especially, and I feel like we've been talking a good bit lately about things that you need to do when you maintain, like you've been disconnected from your craft and you're just trying to, you're just trying to engage in some way. It's important to remember that magic is accessible all the time. And, you know, it's just, it's really, really neat in that way. And that's why I like things like oils. I use essential oils like crazy. I always have them with me. I have a little pouch that's got my set few that I really like and utilize, and then I'll change it up sometimes for different reasons. But they, it's the same thing. They help me change my energy so I can change the energy around me. And that's pretty cool. That's pretty valuable.
Well, and I mean, that's also really, truly one of just, and I don't want to tell people how to live their lives or how to do their magic, but for me, that's the way that magic is created, is through me. Like, I am the vessel, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Or I am the instrument, the tool, you know? And that's what I think essential oils and base and anything really.
Yeah. Any
for,
tool
to change.
Like that. Yeah.
Any tool is to change me, you know?
Yeah.
And therefore have any kind of say on my environment. It's not necessarily like I spray out essential oil and I think that everything's going to change on its own.
Yeah. Exactly.
But I'm going to feel happier. And then because I feel happier, I might clean my fucking house. And it's just this loop, you know?
Yeah. And when you clean your house, you raise the vibration in your house because you've cleaned out all of the energy miasma. And then when you change the energy miasma, maybe you'll feel a bit more likely to engage in a little bit of magic. Or maybe if you're not quite there yet, maybe you could do like a little floor wash or something like that. And that's still magic because, you know, it's all aspire. It all builds on each other. So I think that mundane magic is so important and it's so easy to forget about, but it's always there for you if you need it. So lime oil can be used in all kinds of different spell work. So, and in a lot of different ways, whether you're anointing your tools or you're anointing yourself, again, use a carrier, you're diffusing it in a space or you're leaving it as an offering, or, you know, even if you're leaving a lime as an offering, limes can help lighten things up just like they do with blemishes and scars. It's, you know, they have these properties. They lighten up. And it's great for feel-good magic and general energy sending between friends. So say, you know, if you have a friend that you know is having a hard time and you partake in like sending of energy and you like to do that for people, put a little, you know, lime oil in your diffuser. Put some in like a carrier, like on your brow or something like that, you know, and take in that scent because it is, it's very uplifting and it's very, It just lightens up. It raises things up. It's very purifying. And it's also very focusing. It focuses energy. And so it's just a really good way if you're trying to think of someone in particular to send energy to and you like to do that, lime oil or using lime can be a really good benefit or a good buddy for you in that situation. There's really a bottomless amount of stuff that you can use it for. And because a lot of it is, again, this is all energy. It's whatever you want to fold this energy of the lime into. You know, it's a vibe of its own. What do you want to put that over? Limes are really
studying.
Like, seriously. And also, too, and I think I get to it in a little bit later, like times in which you need to focus your energy as a whole, but we'll get to that. So limes have more sugar than lemons. They're a little bit sweeter. And I feel that bit of sweetness shows through in the metaphysical properties and just the differences between limes and lemons. Like, I just feel like limes are more easygoing than lemons. I just get that vibe.
I also feel like there's an absolute tie between lemon and cursing or like sour spells.
Yeah.
Or, you know, there's definitely that. Of course, like, you can use some, I've used lemon, I've used citrus, all kinds of citrus for like cleaning and that property. Mm-hmm. But there seems to be a very specific baneful quality that comes with I don't want to say it comes with lemon, like it's a natural property of the lemon, but I can't tell you, I don't know if I've ever seen a hex spell or a sour that was like, use lime.
Yeah. It's generally the lemons, you know, and you know, limes, so they're a really good protector. They're a good purifier. You can use this for a lot of different ways and in the purification of negative energy in your space and just general spatial hygiene. So, something fun you can do. So you can string dried lime slices together. You can make a cute little chain of little green lime wedges that are all dried and you can hang those in your kitchen just like you would peppers, and use the physical fruit itself as your source of purification and protection. So it's like you're creating an actual thing, an object out of other objects to just kind of build on this energy and creating an actual like little, and then knotting it all together, it's like a little spell, you know? So if you kind of like physical reminders instead of just like mists and whatnot, that's something that you can do. If you feel
I've done that with oranges. Like,
I always want to. I never have, but it looks so pretty.
Well, I did it one time. It was like autumn, winter, you know, that time. And the orange felt very appropriate for that. It's the coloring and like you could dust it. I dusted mine with like I studded it with cloves and like dusted it with cinnamon. It was like pomander vibes.
Right.
And then I hung it up and I just kept it hung up for the longest time. And it always had such fall energy to me. But the lime seems like it would be perfect for summer. It just has that refreshing, clean, uplifted, like, I don't know, clean is just something that I keep thinking.
Yeah, they do. They're very like, purifying.
In a spatial kind of way. Not necessarily like, oh, my house is clean because I put up a lemon. But like the vibes, the
energetically
air,
clean.
Everything will be
cleaner.
Yeah. And like also, who can like not kind of think about Limes just kind of give me poolside margarita day in the sun vibes. Something very chill about it.
Yeah, no, it is. You think typically when you think of limes, it's a happy memory. You know, it's a good day. It's a good meal. It's a good drink. It's a good afternoon by the pool. You know, it's something like that. Like you're thinking of something good.
Can't be sad with a lime.
Hard to be, you know, and so that's what I was thinking, you know, I was thinking about that today. I was like, you know, so if you feel like maybe you got a little bit of miasma all over you, you specifically, mm-hmm. It might not be your space as much, but you know, maybe you're just feeling a little energetically sludgy. You can just kind of tell when it gets that way. Like, and sometimes like smoke cleansing your body doesn't seem to quite get it. Sometimes it feels almost for me, it's like almost internal, you know, that it's just like, I need to. And there's an incredible potion that can be made with lime water. That's all.
Oh.
And, you know, get your favorite glass. Maybe it's a jar. Maybe you're one of those people that likes jars and you have your little fancy drink jar that you use for special drinks. But give this little potion, this simple potion, a vessel of honor, whatever your favorite glass is. And, you know, this is for when you're just kind of feeling meh. You're not really feeling like you're vibing the way you need to be. You're kind of low. You're feeling yourself a little lower than you want to be registering typically. And
Vessel of Honor sounds like a Christian rock band.
Oh, it does. Wow, that just really made my stomach cringe a lot. So get your Christian rock group and put some water.
Yes.
In, okay. Get some, maybe it's like some good water. Like if you've got some water that's in the Brita pitcher, use that. You know, like some good clean water. And
moon water.
Like cut a lime up, you know. And as you're doing this, as you're getting your vessel, as you are filling it with the water, as you're slicing your limes, whether mentally or out loud, if you wish, be telling each one of these tools what it is that you want to be partnering with them for. And I like to use that better than just being like, I want you to do this for me, or you are to do. I like to say, like, you know, I am working with you to lend this or to accomplish this. Like, it just seems, because, like, especially water's an element. You know, like, I don't like to just boss water around, and I don't like to waste water.
Have some respect.
Yeah, like, and but, like, also, too, like, aside from that, you're setting your intention. So as you're telling this water entering the vessel that this is to help cleanse and, you know, hydrate your body and, you know, just, like, your very practical things, even. But also, you can get deeper, like, this element of water and, you know, maybe to balance out your emotions or, you know, connect you deeper to the energy of water. Whatever it is, you can go as deep as you want as you're filling this glass, but set your intention as to what this water is for. And then as you cut your limes, what you want these limes, you know, how you want them to work with you. Like, you know, do you want to purify the stagnant energy that is within your body? Do you want to, you know, uplift your spirit after a time of just feeling like you're a little bit heavy, like anything like that? Again, you're just making a glass of lime water, but you're breaking it up into steps of intention, and you're programming each one of these ingredients to be something more than they are. This is taking a very physical task and making it metaphysical. And so squeeze your lime juice in there. Use as much as you want. Like I get in there. Like I want to taste it, you know. And
I go hard.
Yeah, I really like the lime juice. Like, I'm into it. And, you know, get your glass ready, and you've either mentally or out loud said, you know, your intentions and your wishes for these ingredients and for this potion that you are making and how you want it to affect you. And now drink it, you know, and, like, you don't got a shotgun. I mean, you can shotgun it, but for me, like, I would want to drink this in one sitting, because, like, as you drink it, envision this water going down your throat and into your stomach, and just it's blooming out this, like, lovely, glowing energy, this change, this green, beautiful, limey glow that can just spread out from your stomach where the water has hit, and just gently purify all of the negative miasma and just negative emotions, feelings that are just kind of locked up perhaps in the muscles, because that water is just going to kind of absorb and be flowing all throughout, and that lime juice will get absorbed into the body. And of course, in a practical way, yeah, you're going to feel better because you just hydrated and you just drank a little bit of vitamin C. And so you're going to feel a little bit perked up, but it's a little bit deeper than that, you know? And I think that's what makes it nice, because like you can, yes, one, if you just feel a little crummy, it's always drink a glass of water. You're going to feel better. You just will.
Crummy.
Yeah. You drink some water, and that's a given. But it is just so nice to have the opportunity to add a little bit of mundane magic in like this, because it can help remind us, like we were saying earlier, that magic is everywhere. And it's also a way to take back a little bit of control. And it's also easy to forget sometimes that we don't have a lot of control either. But in remembering that in your kitchen, you can have this moment, you can do a whole spell in front of a room full of people, and they'd never even know what you did. You know, you could have had this whole water lime potion telling all of the, connecting with the element of water, tapping into the energy of the lime, compiling all of the ingredients together, having this visualization experience of drinking this potion and purifying the body and using. You could do all of that in front of, and they'd never know, but it's still magic. And it's just so empowering to think about, and it's really easy to forget about. And it's important to remember that it is, like you were saying, it's you. That's it. You might not have all of your tools, and you might not have the big fucking fancy like cloaks and books, and you might not have all of those things, which is really easy to think that that's what it takes to be a true practitioner, because it just seems like that's the look, you know? Right. Yeah. You know, like... But it's not necessary. It's nice, sure, because like the tools, the clothes, the crystals, the books, the cards, those are all things that can help you target your magic a little bit, maybe help you tap into kind of like external vibrations and weave things in. But it all comes from you. Like you were saying, you can sit around a whole bunch of tools. You can't just have a problem and set a rose quartz on the table and be like, all right, fix it and walk off. That's not how magic works. It's a give and take. It's not, you know, and if that's the case with all of that, then why isn't it the case for a glass of lime water that you make in your kitchen? It is all of what we program, and it is all what we manifest and make. And I like that. And I like, that's what I love so much about talking about the magical and metaphysical properties of foods, because that is something that can be done so openly and really into like the body. Like you're really absorbing the energy of this when you're able to, you know, safely, for one, consume it. But it's just really, really interesting. And I encourage you all to try that little ritual. And it's not a big deal, again, but it's not, you know, just don't like pull a glass out of the cabinet and fill it full of tap water and squeeze a lime in it and slam it. Do it slowly and take your time with it and talk to everything, even your little vessel that you like so much. Thank it for being what it is and why you chose it. And, you know, just make a whole thing out of it. And visualize this purifying glow that comes from this little magical drink that you prepared for yourself. And that's a nice thing, too, to know. It's like, it's, you did this for you, to take care of yourself. And that's just always nice.
You can do that thing when, you know how, like, pro chefs are always like, beat the shit out of your citrus before you cut it, you know, and you roll it on the counter to, like, get it nice and juicy. You can like work your intention in.
Yeah, as you're rolling it under your palm, you know, like it's just, there's so many options and so many possibilities that you can do, you know. And the way that I think about it is it's metaphysical nutrients. Like we have the nutrients in the lime and we have the benefits that come from drinking the water and the way that it hydrates our bodies. We know that, that's studied, that's proven. That's the physical part of what we were doing.
Quackery.
But what about the metaphysical nutrients? You know, you've charged, you hear the word all the time in magic, charged, this is charged with XYZ, or charge it with your intention. But if we're going to say that all the time, we've got to mean it, you know? And if you've truly charged this with your power and your intention, that's going somewhere. And if you are drinking it, those are metaphysical nutrients. Like you did that for a reason. And I think that's kind of, that's the difference. That's the difference between just drinking the glass of lime water and making the glass of lime water, crafting the glass of lime water, is you get that that extra layer deeper of nutrition for the body, for the subtle body. So other things that you can do is you can make a lime water spray. You can just add a little bit of juice or a little bit of oil and some water, and you can use it as a cleansing, just kind of space elevating mist around your house. Maybe if you don't have the ability to burn things or whatnot, it's something that you could add. Again, don't spray your cat, don't spray your bird, or anything like that. You don't want to make it too strong so it's too sticky or harmful or anything like that. It really doesn't take much. Like, if you've ever made any little mists, it really only takes a few drops of an essential oil to notice it. You don't really got to go too heavy-handed on that. So, while being bright and summery, citrus does have its place in the fall. Limes are harvested in Mexico, I believe, from June to September. Primarily. So, they do have their fall vibes, even limes. You can garland them together, like you were mentioning. You can add them with lemons and oranges as well and make like a little combo string if you want to get real fancy.
Aww.
And really adorn the space for these festivities, such as the fall sabbats, harvest festivals, and even Yule. I saw that, you know, citrus, primarily it seems more your oranges probably, but limes can, you know, you can use them for Yule and whatnot too. And I also like it too, because it's a very energizing thing again. And it's kind of like a reminder, like, yeah, this is the longest night and here comes, you know, it's like, we're coming back into the sun, the zing, the brightness. And it's just kind of symbolic of that to me, I guess. Limes can help us focus on both the physical and the metaphysical. So it can help be a great oil to diffuse or to put on, again, in a carrier if you're starting workings or gathering. If you're starting like a working, if you're like, you want to do some magic and you're like, ooh, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this spell. I'm going to do it right now, because sometimes that's how it goes. You can like use some lime oil, and like as you're gathering your tools, you'll just be breathing that in, and it will help you be focusing your energy together and getting that energy kind of ready to be able to direct and use for a more targeted purpose. It's also good, so you can use
it's like a pre-spell spell.
Yeah, it's just kind of getting your energy right, getting it set up and getting it all kind of gathered back together. It's a great tool for meditation if you want to diffuse or just to have some lime oil when you meditate. I think I already said meditate, but whatever, you know what I mean. Also just practicing yoga. So, you know, it has that purifying nature, but also the focusing qualities that pair so well with asana, but also with meditation. Sometimes, maybe for instance, like you just feel like you can't seem to pin down your life and your energy and your action. Like, it just feels very disorganized and all over the place. Like, I've been in those states before to where it feels like I'm just forever fighting to catch up. Like, I can never actually catch up. And then I start the next day just behind from that day. And I just race and race and race to catch up, to get on top of everything. And sometimes that's true. And sometimes it's like all in my head. And it's like it's a scenario I've made for myself. And I keep telling myself that I'm like running behind and I'm late and late and late and late. And I'm actually not, but I've just like fallen into that rut of thinking that because my energy spreads so thin. And this is where lime can perhaps be a little bit helpful if you're wanting to do workings to get things back on track. So I know a lot of negativity and worry can come from these periods of time to where you just feel like you're spinning your wheels a little bit. And having that purifying and energizing energy to come in and help kind of come in and knock cobwebs down and maybe help your energy, which is spread out into a bunch of different shards, trying to take on all of the different tasks that we have to do all throughout our days. And sometimes when you're just spread so thin and you've got your hands in a whole bunch of different things, you can just kind of feel like you can't ever catch up, and you do a little bit of everything every day, but you never quite finish anything. And that gets very stressful. It just becomes a state of mind that's very just antsy and stressful and unpleasant to be in. I know it's one that I will fall into if I just, if I get too busy. I'm not one of those people that does well being too busy. It's not good for me.
Yeah. Well, that it also for me, I find is like the exacerbator of the I'm late feeling.
Yeah, all the time. I've got to do this. Yeah. I've got to get all. It's exactly the same thing. Yeah, and I get that a lot, especially when my anxiety is high. Mm-hmm. So, you know, sometimes just we need to stop, focus our energy back together, condense it back again from the little fragments splintered off to get through the day each day. And maybe this is what you're doing when you're drinking your little lime water potion. Maybe this is your intention that you set, you know, is to help. You know what? I'm going to kind of put myself back together here. Obviously, I am very energetically stretched thin for me to be feeling this way and for me to be just having this sense of imbalance. So pull it all back together. And that it's kind of a form of grounding in a way. But it's really beneficial to do. And also you're getting some hydration in, which everybody drink your water. It's good for you. You'll feel better. It's amazing how much drinking water will make you feel better so fast.
Dude, it's crazy. I feel like I'm an old bitch, but any ailment I feel like I have, and I don't mean like, you know, go to the hospital or
yeah,
like
but just general feeling like kind of, eh, you know,
just how amazing it is. Tummy hurts, drink some water. Headache, see, to me, headache is the one.
Yeah, when I start dehydration headaches on, are very, they're yeah. real and they're very common.
I'm like, go chug some water. And the way that you feel better that fucking instant
yeah. is fast.
Is crazy.
It's like, it's the same thing. It's like a, you know, doing rounds of breath work. Like you can, cause your circulatory system is like the quickest response, one of the quickest responding systems in your whole body. And so like you can change your whole, you can change almost your whole body's operating status by just like 10 minutes of breathing exercises, you know,
and update your OS.
It's yeah. crazy. And it's the same thing with water. Like it's so important to us and so many people don't get enough of it. And it's, you're always running a little bit, like you're always kind of running a quart low, you know, and that becomes a stressor on the body over time.
Yeah. I got a water bottle this year for Anahata's purpose. Cause we're like, what, 2 days away?
Yeah. And by the way, for those of y'all coming who didn't go last year, either bring one or get ready to buy one because that water bottle is like crucial. It's so important.
You're also kind of in the hot girl club if you have your water bottle and you adorn it with stickers.
Yeah, if you get the stickers from the little mercantile, like the merchant little area that they have set up there, because like we all did and it was super fun.
Okay, on another thing, it might be too late for this, and of course I don't want to like the Anahata's is not like my thing to just insist upon things, but I thought it might be fun just as like, as a little side project if everybody brought some stickers and we could do like a big sticker swap.
Dude, all down for this. Dude, there's gonna, yes, absolutely.
I thought that would be so fun.
Yeah, I'm super down. I love stickers so much. I'm always down to trade.
It's like if you want to bring an untouched water bottle, no stickers, I want like just my Anahata stickers on my water bottle.
Dude, it is. That place is like the best place to sticker a virgin water bottle.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And that's coming up, dude. That's like less than 30 days away, homie bro.
I feel sick.
I feel ready.
I mean, I'm excited, but I also feel sick.
I'm ready for our drive, dude. I'm ready to hit that motherfucking road. I can't stop thinking about it. Oh, I can't stop thinking about it. It's all I'm ready. I'm ready. I can't wait to see Appalachia. Can't wait to drive all through Appalachia.
Yeah!
Like our origin, our roots. Yeah. In a way, like
I wonder if we're gonna like. If we're going to, as soon as we enter, we're just going to hear the call and we're going to wander off into the woods forever.
Yeah.
Goodbye.
Just live in a little like hovel cabin in the woods.
Yeah. Yeah.
Making folk medicine.
Not going into the woods when you hear things like a baby crying. Yeah.
Yeah, bro. And there's we got a really intense and I want to read this one on the next. We generally do these like first come, first serve. But like, I've been waiting for this. OK, we got a dog man encounter sent to us. And it is so fucking creepy. And but that was in Virginia. We're gonna be rolling right up through Virginia. I wrote them back and forth, like, man, you know what, that's like really speculating. Dude, but very interesting.
Let's stay in Virginia, bro, on the way back.
I'm because here's the thing, we're doing a 2-day push on the way up. I'm okay with doing a little bit more of a 3-day crawl on the way back, because we're gonna be straight up tired
about it.
Yeah,
finding somebody, like find a little cabin or something. Listen, yeah. That's my goal today. We're going to find a place to stay deep in the woods. We're going to get killed.
Cause if I can sit me and if I can marinate in a hot tub in a little cabin somewhere after Anahatas and just process what just all happened, I'll be good.
I'll do that.
Yeah. I'm fine with that, I guess.
Cause I just remember how
shell-shocked I was like after coming home. You know, and just I just feel like a little intermediary day in like the mountains before like just completely coming back to reality might help.
I slept for 2 days straight, dude.
I stared at the wall for hours.
Yeah.
Like I remember sitting on my couch in a blanket, just sitting on the couch, just like, what now? How do I live without everyone? How do I live without them? Like, we're best friends.
Yeah.
So crazy. I love it.
And it's as sad as it is, as bittersweet as it is to like, I remember that last day packing up the car when you couldn't find your wallet or your phone. I forget.
Both. I couldn't find anything. And I was getting agitated. And I remember there was somebody there who wanted to talk to us. And I just remember being an absolute just agitated trip dad. And I feel so asshole-ish about it. And I have ever since. But like, yeah, part of that, I just feel like my grumbles were just like, I did not want to leave. And like, I couldn't find any of my shit. And it was like, I feel like my shit was like, we don't want to leave either. We're just going to go missing. And yeah.
But the return does feel like coming back to camp and you get to see all your friends.
Can't wait. Camp friends.
Camp friends.
All right, bro. What are you going to talk to? You're going to talk to me about zinnias, right?
Oh, yes. I'm on. Okay. I'm going to talk to you about zinnias. The reason I can't paint you like an exact Birmingham. Now you can go Google zinnias and, you know, look at the images. Mm. You'll probably know them.
It's like there are okay, yeah,
so many types of zinnias. There's like the domed zinnias, the ball zinnias, the flat zinnias, the ones that are kind of spiky, I guess. And then there's ones that look more almost daisy-like. There are so many different types of zinnias. And dude, just by Googling zinnias, I've got California giants, queen lime, pine zinnias, pincushion zinnias, pom-pom zinnias. There's just a million different kinds of zinnias. And that is because they kind of like yours, when you were saying this about limes, it made me think of that. They crossbreed so easily.
Oh, they're cute, though.
And very well. They have good results when, you know.
Persian carpet zinnias. Those are.
Okay, yeah.
Those are the ones that grow here. I love those flowers.
And that's part of the reason I chose zinnias, is because I was in the mood to do something local. To us. And I know that that's not exactly, they're not going to be everywhere. However, I was just sort of scoping the flora here in my complex. And I was just like, I wonder what that is. You know, I was just looking at things and I was like, I've seen that my whole life. What is that? And I want to do something that I can see and kind of put a name to. And the thing is with zinnias is they're native to Central America. They really thrive and have a history like deep in Mexico, and they have traveled north and south from there, like first north and south from there. But now they're all over the place. Like everybody, you know, most flower shops are going to have a zinnia. They're super easy to grow. And I'm getting a little ahead of myself here, but the big thing with these flowers is kind of in the same vein as a lot of things that we've both talked about recently, is like this surviving in the face of struggle, you know, and grow where you're planted. They take that cheesy grow where you're planted line and they really embody that.
Yep. Okay.
Because you know, while they love the climate of Central America, they love full sun and good drainage. Like they're just, they love a good sunny day. And I'm trying to remember, I'm stuttering, I've got the mush mouth because I'm trying to remember, we've done topics before where the plant like seemingly prefers to live in the shit,
yes,
in the marsh, you know, down in the, by the sides of the roads and shit. This is not one of those. It doesn't prefer to live there, but it fucking can.
Yeah.
And the thing with zinnias is no matter where it grows, it is going to have that beautiful, striking bloom. The thing with zinnias is, you know, when you go to the grocery store and you get the grocery store flowers, there's always like the cheapest ones you can get. And they're like neon colored.
Yeah, but they're so happy.
They're very happy, but they have put
food so much into dye. The water. Yeah.
To change, you know, the look of them. Zinnias almost have that look about them in a natural way. Like if you look at these, I'm looking at some right now. They've got the petals themselves are hot pink. The center is like this deep, beautiful fuchsia, and then a bright yellow ring.
Yeah,
around
they're
the
loud.
Center. Like they just mix. They're loud. Yeah, they mix colors, and in fact, because of their loudness, I'm going to have to skip through in my notes, but this is a good place to put this. Before they were called zinnias because, you know, they weren't officially named until some white guy found them and mm-hmm. gave them a name. And mm-hmm. everybody was like, oh, yes, these exist now.
Yes.
But before that, they were called maldiojos. And that translates to hard on the eyes or sickness, eye sickness or something like that.
Okay. Because, okay.
Because ojos is eyes and mal, I guess mal is like, I think malnourished.
So saying
like,
they're ugly like or that they help with eye ailment?
Saying that, it's not necessarily that they're saying that they're ugly, but they are so striking and bright.
Oh, they're bright. Yeah.
Yeah, they were like, ow, this hurts my eyes.
That's cute.
And I thought it was so fucking hilarious because there's a couple of like I was reading that the Spanish actually when the Spanish kind of came they gave them a similar term it was something like I forget what the name was but it was basically like ow my eyes in the Spanish they considered them kind of an eyesore, you know, they were a little garish, a little tacky. So they weren't ugly per se.
They're joyous.
They're screaming too loud. Nature is too bright with them.
We must stamp out this beauty.
Yeah. But that did lead to, not necessarily trying to stamp out the beauty, but it did lead to this obsession that people have had for a long time with crossbreeding zinnias. And that leads into this, like, millions of different types. I don't know. There's a number that I didn't write down. There's a lot of zinnias. And they just take well to it. And they yield great results. You know, sometimes if you crossbreed, like, two flowers, like, it's just going to look like one of the flowers with, like, some slight characteristics mm-hmm. of the other one. No, this one seemingly will spit out something brand new.
That's pretty cool.
You know,
it's not like when you cross a dog breed with a corgi to where it just looks like the other dog and then has no legs. That seems it's just like you get new stuff.
Exactly. You get new stuff. Yeah. This is, it's in that scenario, in that analogy or metaphor, when you cross the doggies, mm-hmm. It would be like you have a corgi head, but a pit bull body. But dachshund legs and an otter's tail. Like it would just kind of take a little bit of everything and spit out this brand new thing that almost looks like a child picked and choose. Like
cool.
Create this really pretty thing. Butterflies and hummingbirds are drawn to them as they like, you know, the bright things and their little, the way they see colors really goes, ooh, hey, food. But speaking of food, and just sort of that vibe in general. Zinnias, they don't have a smell. There's not a flower scent to them.
Okay.
They don't carry a rosy, You know, there's no scent.
Do they depend more on color than to entice pollinators?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. And that is, you know, part of the reason that they do spit out these wonderful, brightly colored things. And they do have, you know, of course, there's pollen and nectar and shit there, but they're not big for, you're not going to gather up a big bundle of these for smelling. However, these are scent. These are some of the most popular flowers for bouquets and stuff to be sent. And in the Victorian language of flowers, the meaning of zinnias is like, you would send these to a friend that you love dearly, but you have not seen in a long time.
Okay. So not a mean one. This isn't one of the angry flowers.
You're not getting lilac'd with this.
Okay.
No. This is representative of the love that you can hold for someone or something while not necessarily having it present there in your life. And immediately I kind of equated this to witchcraft. And as you said, we've talked about this a lot lately, or I guess since we've started, is, you know, those times where you don't feel like it's around, you don't feel the magic. Maybe, I know I will feel very not connected to spirit. I won't I won't hear from them a lot unless I really sit there and pay attention. And, which is funny, because as I'm saying that, I'm feeling them right now, like, yes, you called.
You're right.
I feel bad because I'm like, it's just an example, guys. Sorry. But you'll kind of feel disconnected from that. But it's not gone. You know, it's this friend that you still love very dearly. Mm-hmm. And I think it can be, you know, you can maybe pick up some zinnias if you're trying to create a space that inspires you once again, to be, you know, magical and to kind of wake those feelings back up. And because of their Victorian language of flowers meaning, these are also just tied to the essence of friendship.
Cute.
They're very friendly. They're a friendly little fellow. So if you're trying to do, it doesn't have to be so dead on the nose as like a friendship spell, but hey, fucking could be.
Hey, but that's funny though. I mentioned friendship magic too. Add limes and zinnias.
Dude, I feel like limes and zinnias would be a great pairing.
They would be.
I think those would just look cute.
They would
next to each
look
other.
Super
like a little
cute.
Like a little arrangement, you know, in your kitchen or something.
Be good enough for the gram.
Oh yeah, dude. And because zinnias don't have a smell, just pump out that lime smell. Yeah, dude. These flowers, they thrive in the heat of summer. When I say they like full sun, they like full sun. They like a full, hella full sun.
Yeah, they do.
And the difference with zinnias, and because not only do they represent like a longevity in friendship, but they just, the essence of longevity in general is deeply ingrained into zinnias, is right now, if you go outside and you look around, you're going to see, here anyway, you're going to see a lot of brown.
Everything's dead.
You're going to see a lot of, brown.
Yeah, heat, like when you said that you were looking around at what was growing near you, I was very surprised that you had flowers near you.
Yes. Yeah. And that's the thing. There's not. There was some, I believe it's, oh God, I'm really bad with trees. I believe it was like a crepe myrtle that is also kind of bloomy around the hot time. Yeah. And I remember looking at that and it was like that fuchsia color. But then after that went, it seemed like everything went except the zinnias, you know? And then of course you do have your things like life everlasting. You just, these things that
can
stay.
Deal. Yeah.
They can deal. But what's so different about zinnias is they're not just a green that is hanging around. They're not just like a yellow that stays. We're talking bright pink.
Yeah. They are bold.
And purples. And it just is strange to have such vibrant color in the dead ass dog heat summer August Leo girl queen boss days.
Yeah.
And it's speaks to them living through this, and not just living but thriving, and doing so with a particular pizzazz.
Yeah, they do have a flair for like drama.
Yeah. So it's not like, oh, I'm struggling, but I'm living. And it's not even like, oh, I'm not just living, I'm thriving. Mm-hmm. It's like, I'm thriving and I look fucking good doing it. It reminds me of that song has been going around on TikTok. It's like, if I'm a be sad, I'm a do it with pizzazz. It's like, that is kind of how it feels. And it just feels, and listen, I hate to do it, but it is Leo season. It feels like a very Leo season flop.
I mean, it does, though. Especially yeah, since it, you know, right now, during this specific time, this month here yes, in this where we yes, live, it's just like, yeah, yeah, it does fit.
Yeah. I don't want to just pick something from random and be like, it's a Leo, but like this flower, Zinnia, it feels like it, big Leo vibes. Excuse me. And also moving into Virgo season. Excuse, my voice is kind of going, I'm sorry.
Mine has been too. Everything's so dry and dusty. Wow. I've had like yeah, several moments of fallout to where I'll be talking and it's just like, oof, and it just like cuts out.
Just turns into dust. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then going into Virgo season, there is that practicality as well. So it's this cool blend of showy and pizzazzy mixed with your very kind of down to earth, practical vibes. Speaking of practicality, these are wonderful flowers to give as offering to any kind of, you know, like a deity that you work with, particularly if they are fans of, feels weird to say, but if they're fans of beauty, or oh, maybe they're fans of excess, you know what I'm saying?
Like maybe like Dionysus. Dionysus.
That's where my brain went. Okay. and it doesn't have to be like every spirit that's like, doesn't have to be like, oh, well, they must love opulence, you know, because you're giving them zinnias. Like they're all going to appreciate it. Yeah. It's this beautiful flower, right? But it is good for kind of grabbing the attention mm-hmm, of spirit and of deity, whatever you.
I'm curious to know in that realm, if you were able to find, because I know you work with human spirit a lot. I wonder if they're charmed by the bright colors, you know, because sometimes I wonder if they're able to see into our realm very clearly and if it takes very right, bold, bright things to be able to penetrate kind of in a way that I feel like as someone on that world or on that side, perhaps if it does operate like that, a bright, pretty little bold flower is like going to get through.
Yeah, it is my understanding that it kind of, the perception of our world, and now, of course, everyone and every culture and every background and every religion and everybody has a different way to think about this.
Right, so yeah. That nobody, again, if anybody tells you they know for sure, they're lying.
They don't. They're lying. Yeah. But from my understanding, the way that I have seen it and the way that I believe and the way that feels right for me is that the perception of our world is kind of directly tied to their awareness. I have two spirits that I feel are around constantly. And they're very aware. Like I feel like they can see and interact with this world almost the same as I do. Maybe it's a little duller, mm-hmm, you know, but you know, I feel like it's about the same. However, if we're talking about a spirit who is only partially aware, or maybe you have a hard time getting in touch with, intense things definitely pull them to the forefront.
Okay.
Bright colors, flame, music, offering. And to me, that's kind of the point of offering. Of course, you want to say, hey, I'm giving this to you as a gift. That's always a good thing. But it's also kind of like a beacon, you know, yeah, and that's why, think about like why you're lighting candles in like Samhain.
Yeah. Know? It helps them to find
guide
you,
the spirits. Right. Yeah. And things like mirrors and intense smells. I feel like lime would probably be a good one. And lime also feels like this. The smell is very like a, I don't know how to say this, but like a high smell. It's like, it's tangy, you know?
Yeah.
It's not like a deep clove. You know, it's that brightness.
Yeah. I feel so like it would shine like through.
Yes, you know, it would permeate. And of course, every spirit's going to be different, just as every human being is different, right? But yeah, definitely. If you're looking to work with spirit, zinnias would be a wonderful choice because of those bright tones. And who doesn't want to like wander over to some beautiful bright flowers and give them a sniff? Now they're going to be disappointed because there's no smell there. Yeah, but
that's true.
You know, it'll
but attract, they can admire, you know, how pretty they are. And the little zinnias will be like, look how pretty I am. And everybody wins.
Look how pretty I am. I don't smell, but look how pretty I am. let's see. You can eat zinnias. Now, don't eat the seeds. It's not necessarily because they're toxic or bad or anything. They just don't taste good. Especially when you cook them, because zinnias are already a bitter flavor. To then cook the seeds would just intensify that. And it's just not a good, it's not a good thing. They're not even really particularly great to just eat.
I wonder if they're like nasturtiums, to where like you can eat the blooms and it's like, they're good for ornamental purposes and they're like a little spicy, but like, you know, they're fine.
But yeah. It kind of in the same way that there's no smell, there's not really a taste besides it's a little bitter. It's green and bitter, which means they're better used as garnish.
Yeah.
You know, to make a otherwise plain looking dish stand out. This is all about standing out and kind of
the drama.
Zhuzhing up your space, you know, and freshening it up and
give
making
it the old
it
razzle dazzle.
Give them the old razzle dazzle. You can also candy these. They're good candied.
That's so pretty. I love seeing when people put those candied flowers on shortbread cookies. I can't even handle it.
Oh. They're so glossy and pretty. You know, you can make a cake and slap some zinnias on it and call it a day. Zinnias are extremely resistant to things. So, again, back to that underlying term, longevity. They represent long friendships. They represent being able to get through this hard summer, whether it's a literal sense of a hard summer or it's like a proverbial drought that you're going through, you know. These flowers, they're resistant to everything. It's like you damn near can't kill them with heat. You can't hardly water them to death.
Yeah, they kind of remind me of disease. They remind me of Bill Murray in Little Shop of Horrors in the dentist's office.
Yeah.
When he's just into all of it.
Yeah. I love that so much. I think that's one of the greatest stupid
scenes. It's so dumb, but I love it.
Ever. I'm going to get a candy bar. If you haven't seen Little Shop of Horrors, just watch it for that scene.
Do it.
Okay. What's he say? You think I'm going to need a root canal?
Oh, God.
Okay.
It's just nice. It's because, like, Steve Martin did a great job playing the dentist, but that is an awful character. And it's just so nice to see a sadist be like, what the fuck do I do with this?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I love it so much.
It's with the sadist and the... and the masochist meet.
Yes.
You know, it's like, what the fuck happens there? but, okay, they're resistant to heat and disease, you know, disease can't hardly get them, which I feel like is a big, you know, anytime disease is born of other stuff. If you overwater flowers, they're going to get sick because, yeah, you overwater them, but they're also going to get like water sickness, just disease is all over the place with plants. That's why I can't hardly fucking have them. What?
Suckmus.
Suckmus.
I don't really, what plants do you have? You know what? I'm curious. What plants do you see? I know you said you had one. What do you have?
I've got one snake plant.
Nice. I love a snake plant.
Yeah. Good old mother-in-law tongue.
Yeah. That was how I had never heard of it called that. That was what my mom knew it as when we were like at Lowe's one day and it was like, ooh, snake. She was like, oh, mother-in-law's tongue. And I was like, what?
Yeah. Yeah. That's actually how my parents knew it as well.
Yeah. Huh.
Huh. A fun fact. About a zinnia. Actually, before the fun fact, because this is a fun fact, I just wanted to kind of speak a little bit more to how much you can change, how many different types of zinnias there are, and how they have adapted and been molded to all kinds of situations. There are zinnias that are 6 inches tall, and there are zinnias that are 5 feet tall.
Wait, I like that.
So that's why when I say it's kind of hard to paint you a Birmingham about a zinnia, there's just so many fucking types. And lastly, I want to end on this little fun fact. This is from Wikipedia, because of course, there is a zinnia blooming inside of the International Space Station.
Awesome.
It was a part of an experiment to see how things would grow in a weightless environment. And it is more than capable to have not only germinated, but grown and blossomed.
Zinnia don't give a
in
shit.
Fucking space. Yeah, no, it's gonna happen, and it's gonna look good doing it.
I could see that also being good to work with zinnias, like if you're doing work to like manifest a new endeavor or like a venture or something like that, something that you don't want to have fail. Like, you know, and you're just like that, you work with that energy because it's not fucking failing.
Yeah. Yeah. Anytime that you need the assuredness of something being seen through to the end, if you need, again, longevity, like if you need resistance to anything that's thrown at it, that this is your go-to. This is your guy, especially if you are working in a business sense, because there is a, There's an element of needing to, how do I say this? It's almost like glamour magic. You don't want your customer, you don't want the outside to see kind of behind the veil of your business. You don't want them to see the fact that like, oh shit, you're terrified.
Yes.
You know, you don't want them to see that you're 2 days away from having to shut your doors.
Right.
Because you're just trying to get a foothold, you know? So it's this thing about lasting and making it, but also having that kind of face on too while you do it. And I think it could also be helpful in times when we as people need to put our face on, in times that we don't want to.
Yeah. And sometimes you gotta.
You know, maybe you gotta go be around people that you don't like.
Oh, yeah.
But you have to. And as much as I love just being like, well, just fuck them. They don't deserve you.
Yeah,
fuck them,
that just
you
know? Doesn't work all the time. You just can't always do that.
Yeah, the real grown-up world, we have to do things sometimes.
We got to be nice to each other.
Yeah, yeah. Got to put on a stupid fucking fake smile and go out and do it. So stick a zinni up your butt and pull a Katy Perry. Have you ever seen Katy Perry after, what's his name, Russell Brand, told her he wanted a divorce?
No, I don't think so.
It's a movie or it was like a documentary or something, but like he sent her a text that he wants a divorce or something like 2 seconds before she had to go on stage. And like, it's so hard to watch, dude, because she's fucking devastated. And then she like goes and she up until the second that she steps on that stage, she's like, not okay.
Oh, and then she's just got to turn like, on the, on, yeah.
Yeah, she has to like, because like it's, there's, you know, I don't know, 4 million
that's
people there.
That's the thing. Yeah, it's true. Like when people, and I fall into that too. And it's like something you and I have both talked about. Like when you eventually have a following, you don't want to disappoint people. You know, it's like, it's why I don't like missing episodes. Like I hate when we have to do that. And I know you do too. And it's because like, I know people count on us like on Wednesday.
Right.
And it's the same thing. So it's like, I know that could probably be seen as like, oh, that's like not great and unhealthy. And it is. In that instance, it was. But like, I understand why she did it. You know, sometimes you just like,
well, I mean,
have to.
Just because something is not ideal, just because something's not healthy doesn't mean that it's not going to happen.
But you can't,
from time to time.
You can't text message breakup.
You can't. Brake. That's in your car, dummy.
I mean, we bought a dog.
Oh, God, I'm going to have to go watch those again.
Yeah. How long have you been standing
there?
That
text message broke up. God, they're awful.
Whew.
Anyway, so that's zinnia. And I have here a little full moon prompt for you. And it just sort of loops back around to what I basically already said. So here's your prompt for the full moon. What comes to mind? The first thing that comes to mind when I ask you, what's something that you have desired for far too long? It's time. Go manifest it. The moon is full. Write it on a piece of paper. Burn it. Go get it.
The moon is ripe.
Oh. For like half a second, I was like, who's talking?
Creepy.
Too long have you watched my sister.
Too long have you haunted her steps.
For my birthday, my parents watched the animated Lord of the Rings.
The Lord of the Rings or the animated Hobbit?
No, the animated Lord of the
Rings. I've never seen the animated Lord of the Rings. I've only seen the Hobbit.
Well, it's... Dude, I was taking a nap because I had swam and I got a little sun and I might have
had
like
that margaritas. How's that pool, homie?
It's nice.
God, I want to get in it. I've got to go out there.
So I went and I laid down. And of course, you know, after you swim, you get a little sun, you get a little booze.
Zonked.
Oh God, I took a nap and Dad sat down and we started it. And for the first, I don't know, 1/4 of the movie, I was kind of in and out. I was trying really hard
kind
to wake
up. Kind of bleary eyed.
But yeah, so I would like to watch it again, but dude, it is so bizarre. There's so much mixed media. There's cartoon people and real people.
Oh, cool.
The orcs are clearly wearing cheesy, like gorilla masks.
Oh.
With vampire fangs.
Okay, I'm intrigued.
Everyone's calling Saruman Aroman for some reason.
Why is the S silent?
I don't know. And it just sort of stops after Helm's Deep.
Oh, pulls like a Monty Python ending? Pulls a Holy Grail ending?
It just sort of... Well, the thing is, they planned on finishing it, but they never did. And I had always heard that the dude died.
Oh.
But that's not true. He's like still alive today, apparently. But the thing is, right at the end, I don't know if they did this on purpose or if they came in and did this on post. It's the part where Theoden's basically like, right out with me. He's like,
oh, yeah.
Okay, we might die, but like, right out with me. I want to go out fighting. And then Gandalf shows and blows everybody's dicks off with that light. Mm-hmm. But as Gandalf is showing up, a narrator comes on and he's like, and so it was that Frodo and his friends wiped evil from the face of the earth and all was good. And then,
how about you slow down there, boss?
And then the credits roll.
Did y'all both just blink? I would have.
It was a mixture of blinking and scream laughing.
You have to. That is absurd. I love it so much.
It's such a
I love that it's just like la di da di da and it is done. Yeah.
And so it ends. But apparently Peter Jackson took some inspiration from like certain scenes in that, you know, just as like a little homage. And you can really see it.
Yeah.
There's certain scenes that you're like, dude, when so and so walks in the room, they look just like that. Or like you could tell they like delivered that
deliberate.
Yeah, yeah, like it, you know, it was definitely the soice material.
Interesting. Well, I'm glad. How long is it?
Ralph Boschke, that's his name.
Boschke.
It's 133 minutes.
Okay, so it's a little over 2 hours.
Yeah, yeah. And I had totally forgotten that it just sort of ended.
Stops.
So it when it ended, I had a real moment of confusion. I felt the same way that people who didn't know what Lord of the Rings was felt when the first Lord of the Rings film ended.
Oh gosh, or even
you remember?
Yeah, you know, the last one when it blacks out when they're riding down the side of the mountain, you know, and it seems like it's like
ending.
It's like a fake out ending. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. I always, by the end of the night, when like when you're marathoning those films, I always try to count the fake out endings.
Yeah, how many
I think
are
it
there?
It's at like 7.
There's a lot.
Yeah. There's a lot of fake outs. It's like they didn't know which one they were going to use.
Yeah, I don't know why they did that.
Yeah, we don't need to fade to white 4 times. I'm confused. Yeah. But you know what? We get to see Sam's cute little chunky baby.
You do get to see his chunky baby. And it's so nice to see him cleaned up from having the most chapped lips you've ever seen and their little dirty tear-streaked faces to their clean little round clean faces.
That lip chap, dude, that's like when it gives me flashbacks to like waking up after a bar night.
It's terrible, dude. I don't even Like, I just want to, like, peel it off. Like, I'm just looking at their lips the whole time, and I'm like, I could just get in there and just exfoliate that, dude.
Just
I could put
chew that off.
Yeah, it's like, I could put a little bit of something on there. Like, you'd feel so good. Like, I could fix that for you, buddy. Ugh.
Let me get some salt, you know?
It's like, I know all about the chapped lips. And so it's like, homie, babies, I'll help y'all. Just like, y'all got to do something. At least, like, wash them with a rag. Take off that out layer of skin. Like, do something.
Dude, it's like, and you know what's worse? Because they're so fucking dehydrated. Because Frodo absolutely
He only wrecks. You know in the movie Airplane when he's like, I've got a drinking problem, and it's just because he throws the water on his whole body? That's how Frodo drinks.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like he like literally goes, oh, fuck, dude, we've got 4 drops left, and then he just pours it on the ground.
Let me recreate that scene from Flashdance.
And if you pay attention, I always feel like Sam gives him a little bit of a what the fuck look.
But he should. He's too good to say anything, but at least he should give him the stink eye a little bit because it's goddamn rude. I don't care if you're carrying the ring of power, you piece of shit. Save some water.
It would have sustained you for like another day or
two. You're like 60 years old. Don't act like you don't know how to drink out of a canteen.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
I that has to have been like a take. I feel like after they were called cut on that one, I feel no one could have not made a comment.
I don't know. I mean, I know that they're pretty zombified, but like, it's pretty instinctual to not want to let your last drops of water go for no reason.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know what? Here's another thing. Put your mouth on it.
Put something on it.
Put your mouth on it. It's your canteen.
Yeah, I mean, like, are you afraid of sharing germs with Sam? I'm pretty sure. I bet y'all have shared a lot more than we think. So, like, you're going to be worried about drinking after each other? Come on. Ridiculous.
Yeah. No. Yeah. I mean, and like, first, I don't think hobbits are that worried about it in the first place.
No, dude. You know? I think they all eat off the same serving spoon.
Gross, first of all. But also, whatever, dude, just don't hold it 5 feet in the air and try to catch the drop.
I can't with it. I can't.
Well, I could sit here and talk about how mad that makes me all goddamn day. But instead, what we will do is direct you to our Instagram.
It's fine. It's there. It's Witch Bitch Amateur Hour.
Our Twitter.
@ Bitch Hour.
Our Facebook.
@ Witch Amateur Hour. But you can also just search it.
Our,
and you'll find it.
Our LinkedIn page.
Oh, God. Dude, I hate LinkedIn. I hated LinkedIn when I was in college and I was forced to set one up in business school. I hated it then. I hate it now. I hate it.
You know what's crazy to me is like hearing stories of people who have met and married on LinkedIn.
Dude, it's like a whole, people really use that platform, but every time I was forced to spend a few minutes on it here and there, and I absolutely hated it more than anything in the world. I hate it.
I see, the reason I hate it is because I made one time, and I feel like it was around the time I was looking for real grown-up jobs. And that was what you did. You had a LinkedIn.
Yeah.
And it made me feel so fucking inferior because it has all the, you know, it was like, what are your credentials? What is this? What is that? And it was like, my LinkedIn page was basically a picture of me. And then it was like, I'm organized and I do massage. It was just so sad.
I hated it. I was just like, this is the most boring stick up the ass. Bullshit uncreative place I have ever been. I hate it. And I know like a lot of people have like gotten jobs on there and whatnot, but my soul was sucked out of my body every time I was looking at it.
Here's the thing. Here's a bonus episode topic, which speaking of bonus episodes, patreon.com, which bitch, you'll find a link. What social platforms are what zodiac signs?
Oh my God, dude, that's a good one. Oh, that's a real good one. Yeah, we got to remember that. We got to write that down. That's a fun
Live one. Journal is Cancer.
Tumblr is Sagittarius.
Yeah.
Either Tumblr is Sagittarius or Tumblr is Pisces. Because I feel like Tumblr is also one of the very first places that you could go and you could be real weird and everybody else was weird with you.
Yeah, true. What's Aquarius? I'm sitting here racking my brain and all I got is like aliendating.com.
Yeah, I don't know. That's tricky. Aquarius social meds. I don't know. And now that I think about it, if you consider it, I feel like actually TikTok would be more of a Sag platform than.
See, I don't know if you'd count this because it's a different thing. I got straight up Tinder vibes from Sagittarius.
That's true too. I forget about Tinder, and it is kind of I think we could really go deep with this. We have to mark this down and save it.
Yes.
Write this down.
Yeah. What was that? What was that?
The very famous country song. Write this down.
That I know for some reason, but I
I don't remember the words. Something da na 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 na. Write this down.
Eat up a tortilla.
That's different, but
yeah,
important.
Yes. Well, okay, listen, let's call it here because it's time.
It's time.
Join us next time.
Guys, get that print. Get that print right now because it'll be gone forever. And listen, your pleas to bring it back, your pleas for another chance will fall on deaf ears. I assure you.
Deaf ears that have been sewn shut
and
buried under concrete.
And take a little bit of joy in saying, no.
The deaf ears are a little bit pretentious and they kind of like going,
No, I don't think so.
We warned you. WBAHprintshop.com. It makes me think of, and I know it's nowhere near the same, but like there was a piece of merch from Unus Honest that I didn't get, but I kind of wish I would have. And there's replicas all over the place, but they had one and it was a coffin, the black and white coffin. And it just said, I was there.
Cool. Yeah.
And I really have been like, fuck about it.
Yeah. Cause that's pretty cool.
Cause I want it. I want everyone to know I was there.
I miss them.
Anyway, check it out. WabaPrintShop.com. Join us next week where I think we have a spooky song.
Is that next week? I know it's coming up soon. That's what we're about to talk about. We're about to figure all that out.
Yeah. We're going to do some stuff behind the scenes. And then we'll see you next week.
All right.
I just typed in Scarlett Johansson brain movie and Scarlett Johansson brain movie was the first like suggestion. Lucy.
That's what it was called.
Lucy.